It is good to know that everyone seems to be making a bit of effort to go through the lessons that are online, keeping in touch with the teachers, doing everything we can to see how our faith can improve further. I want to encourage you to press on with this good determination and efforts on your part. And the Sunday School focus right now, the second part, is about how faith and practices go together. Remember, our practice or the lack of it will affect our faith in a very real and definite way. And so before we take up the Lord's word once again, let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. Father, we pray for discernment, for wisdom, to understand how we can develop our faith. We pray that you teach us how the practice of our faith, or the lack of it, will actually affect the growth and development of our faith. Teach us to understand and appreciate that we have like precious faith, faith of the apostles. We pray that our hearts will be greatly encouraged to cultivate this faith in every way possible. And so we pray for your blessings as we take up the Gospel of Matthew once again. Bless us in the study of your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today we're going to take up once again, as a reminder, that our goal is to end up with a stronger faith. A faith that is not only strong, but relevant. It is not a faith that is just made up of knowledge. It is not a faith that is of no practical use. The challenging thing to remember about the faith that the Lord wants us to have is that firstly, it must be genuine. And the nature of a faith that is genuine is that it must grow and it can grow. And so that's why the Lord Jesus Christ gave a parable and compared faith, genuine faith, to a mustard seed. And that mustard seed that is real, carefully nurtured, can become like a tree. Or again, he used it to speak about a little bit of leaven, a bit of yeast. A small, tiny amount, it can spread throughout the whole loaf to cause the bread to rise. The idea here is that faith was never meant to be stagnant. And every week, we can actually see our faith grow. And we can look forward to a day when it can become much stronger than it is today. What will affect our faith from growing well? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ identified the problem. And that has to do with practices. If the practice of faith is wrong, then that faith will become dysfunctional. That faith will not grow significantly. And wrong practices must be corrected. As long as wrong practices are not corrected, that faith will remain as it is. It can stagnate, or worse, it can literally diminish into nothing significant at all. The challenge is to develop good practice and then to keep up with good practice of that faith. Well, today we look into part two of practices which are there. And we look at chapter 6, verse 19. And the Lord Jesus Christ mentioned about what it is that we must treasure. And so he said, 6:19, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. And then in verse 21, the key text, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If we want to take a look at how we can develop our faith further, we must ask ourselves this basic question. Do we see our faith in God as a treasure. For many people, faith is just simply functional. The kingdom of God is something nice to have. But it is not really a treasure. What are the things that a lot of people treasure on this earth? Well, these are the treasures of earth. And so the Lord Jesus Christ identified some of them. One, obviously, is wealth. Financial wealth as a treasure that many people look for. Or fame for some others. See, the danger here is very, very obvious, and he highlighted it. Whatever you treasure, there you will find your heart. And if your heart is not in faith, in God, in the kingdom of God, but your heart is found wherever or whatever you treasure, that will definitely directly affect the growth of our faith. And so the Lord Jesus Christ encouraged them to consider the treasures that will not be affected by this earth. And so he says, let your treasure be things in heaven. Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. But this is the challenge of it all. Right? Paul wrote to the Colossian church and he said, he encouraged them to look at things above, on Christ Jesus the Lord. Because when the heart and the mind are focused on cultivating treasures in heaven, on the Lord Jesus Christ, then the practice of seeking treasures on this earth will not affect our faith in any way. And so this afternoon or this morning, as and when you meet, you must ask yourself, wherein is your heart? What are the things you really treasure? For school, children, it might be grades or friends. And when this becomes a preoccupation, then you will find that where the treasures are in our heart, you will find that heart will be there definitely. And if our faith and the kingdom of God is not our treasure, neither would our hearts be there, and neither will our faith grow. The second thing that the Lord Jesus Christ took note of was this idea of the lamp of the body in verse 22. And so he said, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Now, that is an interesting and very deep insight. What is this thing we call the eye? It really is a description of how we see things on this earth. You know, there are some people whose eyes are not good. And obviously, if the eyes are not good, it will affect the vision. It will affect what you see, what you read, what you understand. In the same way, when the eye is bad and looking at things of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ used darkness and light as illustrations. If the eye is looking at things which are bad, in other words, if you have a bad eye, then you will see darkness. And if whatever you consider as light, but it is in fact darkness, then everything is going to turn out negative. But if the eye is good, in other words, you can see the Lord, you can see the relevance of faith, you can see the reality of faith in God, you can see all these things that really matter, then you will find that a whole body is full of light. There will be positiveness, there will be light it to be given. You can see things and look at things in the most positive and wonderful way. Be careful of how you look at life. As we go through this COVID-19 strict measures, we can have eye that grumbles at everything. Then the eye becomes bad. But if we can see the wisdom of it all, we can understand and appreciate why it is that we must have these strict measures. Then we will be able to save lives. We will be able to save our country. We will be able to look beyond today, and we will be able to recover. Millions have been affected in the world already. Economies are very badly hit. Whole countries' economies are in a tailspin. The challenge is to be able to have light to see things properly, to see things clearly, see things carefully. If we see bad things only, then we will see darkness. But if we see clearly, in a perspective of truth, in a perspective of wisdom, in a perspective that the Lord Jesus Christ tries to give to us, then you will find that we will be able to see things brightly. And there is indeed light at the end of the tunnel. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 119 of how he found light. And he wrote in verse 105, he said, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." If we want to have an eye that is full of light, let it focus on the word of God. Let the scriptures give us light. Let the Lord ever be the light of the world to us. And in his light, we see light. In his word, we will find a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Well, that is the challenge of it all. Let's watch out for the eye with which we see things in this world. The third practice that the Lord Jesus Christ addressed is just as important. And he talked about whom we serve ultimately. So in 6:24, he said these words, "No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Well, we have to understand what Jesus was saying. Ultimately, our faith involves practice. And our faith would see us serve. So we will have to think about whom we are serving, why we are serving, how we are serving. At the end of it all, there are two masters. One you will love, the other you will hate. One you will be loyal to, the other will be despised. And the Lord Jesus Christ candidly brought up a problem. And he called that problem mammon. What is mammon, actually? Well, it is an old Hebrew or Syriac word that literally means money. So in Hebrew, mammon is mammon. And it represents wealth, it represents money, it represents something which the world is mad about, it seems. And so we have to choose whether we want to end up serving God or we want to end up serving mammon. And either way you look at it, whoever you serve, that will be the master that you own one day. And so very wisely, the Apostle Paul wrote to young Timothy. He was a much younger man. He was a young pastor, and he had these words to say to him. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, so he wrote to Timothy to teach his people in the church these words, this truth. "Those who desire to be rich fall into temptation." See, the desire is very real. When people decide on the university course they wish to take, one consideration that is borne in mind is how much they will earn after they graduate from university. And that becomes in itself a danger. It becomes a snare. And when a person is caught up with money as mammon, almost like a god, then the person can fall into foolish and harmful lusts. The person can drown in destruction and perdition if he is not careful. And so that famous word is quoted and sometimes misquoted. It is not that money is a root of all kinds of evil. It is the love of money that is the root of all kinds of evil. Money is what we earn. Money is what we are blessed with. It is the love of money that becomes the root of all kinds of evil. And so Paul noted that some, because of money, they have strayed from their faith in their greediness. There was once a companion of Paul, and his name was called Demas. In fact, his name was mentioned favorably. When Paul wrote to the churches, he sent greetings on behalf of Demas. But then one day, Paul had to write about Demas. And he said, Demas has forsaken me. Why? Because he had loved the world. And so it was his love for money that led Demas to give up his companionship with Paul, the service of the Lord. It was money again that saw to the downfall of Judas Iscariot. And so what Jesus said is a good word of warning to all of us. And he warns us that it is not just money, at the end of it all is whom we actually serve. And so we have to take heed. What are we looking at as the master of our life? Who are we looking at? And the Lord Jesus Christ must be our teacher, our Lord, and our master. Then we would be able to see the growth of our faith in very definite ways. Now, here is one more thing that the Lord Jesus Christ had to deal with. And that is a problem that I think all of us have to struggle with. And that problem is highlighted in the last part of Matthew chapter 6. Right? And in verse 25, we see the word worry. And then we look at verse 27, we see the same word worry again. And in verse 28, we see the word worry mentioned yet again. Now, we go on further to see in verse 31, worry. That's four times now, do not worry, that we mention, right? And then in verse 34, we see the word here, do not worry. So the idea of worrying was mentioned five times. But three times, the phrase is, do not worry. And I think all of us worry. From very young, we worry. In primary school, we worry about PSLE. Those who are sitting for O levels, we worry about O levels. And then A levels. And those who are in the IB program, they worry about IB exams that were coming up shortly. Then we worry about going to university or maybe not even to uni. We worry about all our jobs that we have. We worry about life partners. We worry about security. We worry right now about COVID-19. I think worrying is a very real part of us. The question is, how do we look at this thing here? Is worry a serious problem? The answer is yes. It is serious enough to cause the Lord Jesus Christ to mention it at such length. And so we have to ask ourselves, how do we overcome this? Will worrying affect our faith? Yes. The very fact that we worry tells us something important. That we have not learned to put our whole trust in the Lord just yet. What are the things we worry about? Well, some people worry about life in general. And that is something that we need to consider. Some people worry about what to eat or to drink. And this, in the light of COVID-19, people are worried about the bubble tea that they cannot have. Well, these are things that we read about or we hear people mention. Some people worry about the clothing that they will wear. These are things which may seem petty or trivial, but the fact is we worry about them. So what is the best thing to do when the Lord Jesus Christ addressed this, when he said, do not worry? In 6, 25, 31, 34, he said, do not worry. What does it mean? What does he really mean? Firstly, he just simply stop worrying. So if we are worrying, the best thing to do is stop worrying. So what's the opposite of stop worrying? That's what the Lord Jesus Christ said. Learn to trust God. Luke 6:26, we read. Look at the birds of the air. The next time you feel a worry coming on, look at the birds of the air. They don't sow, they don't reap, they don't gather into barns. How many birds are there in the world today? Well, roughly, it is more than a population of human beings on this earth. There are billions of birds, and yet they survive. How did they survive? The Lord Jesus reminds us, your heavenly Father feeds them. Now, we seldom think about this, but it is a reality. Think about this. In my house, there is a little minor bird that comes by. So every day he comes by and sits on the aircon seal there. And every day I will watch it. And he will look around and see whether he can find food somewhere. And every day, I try to communicate with it, and the bird is not interested in being friends with me. So when I approach it, it flies away. Well, the bird is not really worried. He just doesn't know how to trust. Well, here it is with us. Sometimes we worry too. We worry about all kinds of things. And the Lord Jesus Christ tells us, stop worrying. So what is the best thing to do? Well, I think we all are worried. We're worried when we are older. We're worried whether we'll get COVID-19. We're worried about how long this COVID-19 strict measures will last. We're worried about the economy of our country. We're worried about job losses. Our parents are worried about the economy, about the things that they are sustaining. The worry is there. What is our challenge? Learn to look up. We are of more value, the Lord Jesus reminds us, than the birds. Then in verse 27, which of you by worry can add one cubit to his stature? Well, one cubit is quite a large, long actually. One cubit is 1.5 feet. So it's quite a bit. Can you add that kind of stature? The answer, of course, is no. Well, if we can't do anything, we can't grow taller by worrying. So what's the point of worrying? The challenge is stop worrying. Verse 27, it does no good at all. But what is the deeper underlying problem? This is what the Lord Jesus Christ said. Take a look at this thing here in verse 30. And we see this very clearly mentioned. Okay? O you of little faith. See, that is the problem. If we ever want to grow our faith, we have to consider what we are practicing. And if we are practicing worrying, we will remain people of little faith. But if we really want to stop being people of little faith, we have to do something about the worrying habits that we have already adopted. It's already a part of us. We do not want to let little faith become a feature of our life. How do we get out of this? 633, the Lord Jesus Christ gives us that classic statement. And he said, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. This is what we can do. This is what we must do. We seek God. We seek the kingdom of God, his righteousness. We've already mentioned this in Matthew 5, verse 3, all the way to verse 12, the Beatitudes. The first one begins with, blessed are the poor in spirit, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The last Beatitude, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. What is their blessing? Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So first and last, bracketed, the kingdom of God is noted. Our challenge is to seek the kingdom of God. We seek to understand the kingdom of God. We seek to practice real righteousness. Because real faith will express itself in true righteousness, practical righteousness, personal righteousness. And if we were to be able to practice them, then we will see that our faith can literally get out from the status of little faith into possible great faith. This is something that we must be challenged to consider. And in 6:34, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us very clearly, do not worry. Stop worrying about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about its own things. Looking at this idea of tomorrow, will tomorrow have its own set of problems? Yes. So you don't want to add tomorrow's problem to today's problems. Let today's problems bring us to the presence of God. Let today's presence bring us to praying to God, seeking the Lord. If we put all these things into good practice, then we will be able to see definite growth in our faith. Let us be challenged to look at the practices the Lord Jesus Christ mentioned in the second part of the Gospel of Matthew. Let's examine what the treasures are in our life. What are they? Be honest, be candid, be frank with yourself. Dare to face yourself. And if our treasures are wrong ones, bad ones, then we must exchange those treasures for things which are good before the eyes of God. We ask ourselves again a second practice. How do we see life? What is the lamp of our body really like? What is our eye like? In English, we speak of a person with green eyes, green with envy, or having red eyes, the idea of that of anger. What should our eye be like? Let our eye be one of purity, one of light. And then when we see, we have that light, we will see things in a far better perspective. Our whole body can be full of light. Let's check again. Whom do we serve? What do we serve? Let the Lord be one we serve. Let his kingdom be our focus in our service. Let us do everything we can so that we can serve the Lord as we should. And in the process of time, in the process of life, if we can also cease to worry and instead focus on seeking the kingdom of God and his righteousness, we will then be able to see ourselves moving from little faith to possible great faith. Let us desire to make this a worthy goal of our life. Let's do everything we can to cultivate a strong, personal, practical faith. Let's desire to have great faith as the goal of our life. Well, let's pray together. Our Father, we thank you for helping us to address the problems that we recognize These are problems in our life indeed. Teach us how to seek you for forgiveness, for cleansing. We pray that you will help us to make you our treasure. Help us to look at life afresh and to stop worrying, but to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness instead. Help us to think of serving you as our master. Help us to understand how we can make this very real in our life. We pray for light that will come as we read your word. Light that will lead us, guide us in the footsteps of our life, in the path that we take. May there always be lights that will shine, keeping us from falling, going astray, and then falling into darkness. We ask you to help us to desire a great faith. We pray that this faith will honor you and will be a blessing to people around us. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.